B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, welcome to Zolak and Bertrand. It's a beautiful day. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How we doing?
Hi.
It is a
good morning.
Good morning.
It is so beautiful out.
Is it? Did you get out there yet?
I don't know. I hope Jason Tatum could get outside today. I'm worried about him. We'll get to him today.
Okay, we will.
Pathetic.
Bill Belichick had a conference call yesterday. First time he had
sure
spoken.
Did.
First time he had spoken since Tom Brady decided to become a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And we discussed it briefly before we got off the air yesterday. What was he going to say about Brady? And, you know, he would obviously face some questions, which he did. Mike Giardi was asking questions about Tom Brady in that conference call. But right off the bat, he did address it a little bit and said that everything he had said about Tom in the statement was true and you know, we'll be talking about Tom Brady for years to come. How'd you feel about it? I was a little disappointed he didn't give us more.
Well, the problem is, he's talked about him as such an iconic figure within the organization. He did the top 100 with him. Where do you start? Where do you stop? And I think part of the problem is there's so many great Brady moments over the 20 years and probably some of the ones that we don't even realize, and that's where I kind of like to hear more from Bill on that stuff. Like some of the obvious ones, the two touchdown comebacks, the great throws, the Kembrell Tompkins one, the throws to Randy Moss to break the record. You know, bringing you back 28-3. We get all those. What are some of the quiet ones that we don't know about? Behind the scenes type stuff. And maybe we'll get that at some point with him.
Well,
I don't
need him to sit back and reflect.
No,
I don't need
him
to come out and heap praise all over Tom Brady. I'm talking about the departure of Brady. The questions that were asked were, did it surprise you? Did you have any idea it was going to happen? And we didn't get an answer on that.
I didn't expect anything out of him from that. I think this is his first turn of the page press conference where, you know, this is about what we need to do and what we need to do to get better. And I think he knows there'll be a time where, yeah, you'll get the fluff and stuff from me about Tom Brady when I'm all done and we sit back and we reflect. But I didn't think yesterday was time for that. I'm glad he briefly mentioned it at the beginning of it.
Well, he didn't have a press conference 2 weeks ago when it happened.
Yeah.
Why is yesterday not the right time? It's the first time he spoke. Like, it's the first time he speaks. You can get, you know, you ask him questions about Brady.
Yeah.
And he took a hard pass is how I felt about it.
Again, go back to the statement he released about Tom Brady when Brady left. When Brady left and Bill released that statement, I thought Kerm was pretty good. He was all over it. He goes, interesting how that was phrased. Let's not let the end of how things ended here reflect on Tom's total career or our thoughts about, like, what is that? What does that mean? The fact that they got eliminated from the playoffs or through pick six? I don't know. I mean, just one whole damn thing a year ago.
Yeah,
right?
And I think that's what it was, though. I think it was like the immediate football end. You know, the
hitting the wall.
Yeah. Not getting the bye week, losing in the wild card round. That not in terms of all the conversations that went back and forth and the rumors about whether he was wanted here. Not in that regard. Just
maybe it's too that hey maybe it was just so damn miserable last year, and I saw it more so than anybody. I had to deal with it every day. You guys see it quickly in press conferences for the 3-minute press conference. Okay, guys, that's it. I'm out. Maybe Bill knew more. Maybe that's, you know, it's kind of open-ended there, you know what I mean? There could be a lot of things that play into how it ended and how it shouldn't be held against Tom.
Yeah.
So. But he's ready to move on, I think. And I think, you know, listening to that conference call, that I don't say that this is a new, but I think this is a great new challenge for him. And not that Bill needs it, because when you talk about legacies and stamps and all that, he's already there. This isn't going to hurt him. This can only help him. But I think this is a fresh new start for him. And it's going to be a fresh new start for Tom. Tom's dad talked about, hey, it's a nice kick in the ass for Tom. You know, it's, you know, nice change. Nice change of scenery. Change of scenery can be good for everybody. So that's the way I felt, that the way this conference call went yesterday, that Bill's ready to go on the next chapter.
Well, I mean, I would expect him to. He's got no choice, and he's the best that there is.
He better be.
I mean, there's nobody better at coaching an NFL team than Bill Belichick. So, yeah, of course, if he's going to go on to the next thing. It just feels like there's a different standard in this happening for Brady than there is Belichick. Brady's had to answer questions. Brady did a conference call, even though he didn't give you some sort of great insight into it, but he at least has spoken at length about leaving the Patriots. He did it on a conference call. He obviously did another interview by choice with Howard Stern,
right,
in which he offered up more on the departure. And I don't think anything Brady has said has been damaging to the relationship, or he said anything bad about anybody.
Well, maybe
he's given you a little something, and, you know, there's some sort of, like, closure to it. Just as a fan, it just feels weird that this team, after having Tom Brady as their quarterback for 20 years, is now moving on, and it's like he was never here. It was just odd yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Bill, this guy obviously, I believe he means something special to Bill Belichick.
And I would hope so. That's why I said, too, the signage.
And I believe Bill's statement. Like, I believe Bill's statement. Of course I do. Here's what I would say. Was anyone questioning, like, really spending a lot of time questioning what Bill Belichick was saying about Tom Brady in his statement a couple of weeks ago? Like, he had to reiterate that he meant it. But I found that interesting by itself. Like, I meant that. In case you're wondering if I didn't mean it.
Well, maybe he's hearing that people don't think he meant that.
Like, you know, we sort of joked, like, wow, this is the nicest Bill had been to anybody in a statement ever. Like, but I thought he meant it. I thought it was heartfelt and that he has a special relationship with Brady. It's just odd. It's a little bit weird.
And maybe he should have had a press conference the second Brady. Maybe it should have just been a Brady press conference. Hey, I'm going to answer about 10 questions on Tom. I think he deserves that, and then I'll do my pre-draft press conference when that time comes. It's just, yeah, I think everybody wants more because we view the player a little differently than any other player that's left. And plus, we still feel that the player can play and be competitive at a very high level. See, that's the tough part of this. This isn't Rob Gronkowski into retirement. Here, I'm not coming back. You know, I'm on a waiver here. No, he wants to go play and win. That's what's scary. And I think fans are scared of that.
Of scared of what?
Just
of
like,
no.
God, can you imagine if this team ends up 8-8 or 9-7 and Tom Brady takes a Buccaneer team 11-5 and they end up going to the playoffs and maybe get a bye. That, like, fans here would have a tough time with that. Tough time with that. I'll have a tough time with that. Yeah. Like, how did this not end here?
Right, because it's
should
not
have
only,
ended here. Okay,
I mean it's that's obviously it's not going to end here. B, there's at least some indication that neither side wanted it to end here anyway. And how can that be? Look how good it is. And then of course the obvious one is C. There's the guy that you had that should have stayed here that has ended up, you know, doing all those things for another team.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the kicker.
It's bad from a football standpoint. It's bad from an emotional standpoint. It's bad, you know, going forward to think like, wow, so that was what you came up with. Let Tom Brady go and start rolling with Stidham or even get Cam Newton over here. And you know, to look and see what he did. And people are not going to be willing to look at whatever weapons he has available to him with the Buccaneers as opposed to the Patriots. People are just going to look at it as, you know, a plug and play. Hey, that guy went there and did that. If he would have stayed here, that would have happened here. And that's, you know, the analysis for a lot of people is going to end right there.
Which isn't unreasonable to have it end right there.
Correct.
Yesterday on the conference call, there was a comment about the 20 years that Brady Cats been here in terms of building the team that has gotten a little attention. And so it's the first time in 20 years that the Patriots will be with a new quarterback. Let's hear this audio from yesterday onto the call. That Bill Belichick talked about, you know, building the football team.
I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, it's a pretty interesting quarterback class. And obviously, there's only one Brady. But I'm curious, how willing do you feel like you and your staff will need to be moving forward when it comes to that position and maybe altering your offense a little bit? It does feel like there are more athletes sort of coming into the league year after year, different styles of quarterbacks. And I'm just curious how important you think that is to be open to changing this thing that you've built for two decades with, you know, one guy primarily playing the majority of the snaps there.
Right. Yeah. Well, as you exactly, Phil, just, I couldn't agree with you more in terms of over the last two decades, everything we did, every single decision we made, in terms of major planning was, you know, made with the idea of how to make things best for Tom Brady. And now that being said, you know, we've had several situations where, we had to, play and we knew Tom wasn't going to be the quarterback. So that would go back to Castle and, Jimmy and Jacoby and, you know, situations like that. And so in those situations, they were, in season, although Matt's Castle situation ended up being for 15 games, but whatever those situations were, we adapted what we had to, the player and try to, once we, to Castle would be a good example. You know, we geared everything towards, you know, doing what was best for him, just like we always geared everything for doing what was best for Tom and, to help our offense there. So I don't really see that changing.
So a lot of people could take just that one line when you take it by itself, all by itself, everything we've done for the last 20 years, right? Being about Tom Brady, you isolate that by itself. You can take that out of context. Like, yeah, can you believe this? Can you believe Belichick saying everything that they did was for Tom Brady for the last 20 years? I don't think the answer is about Brady. What did you think about this answer?
You have to listen to the whole thing because he explains it quite clearly. You know, depending on who the quarterback was, you know, 7 minutes into one season, the knee goes. We had to change everything for Matt Castle. I remember that. That was more power eye. That was play fake. That was running digs with Randy Moss. And Randy eventually caught on to what Castle can do and what Castle can throw. And I think Randy was pouting a lot at the beginning of that year because, shoot, you know, I can't do it without Tommy. And Randy had a pretty decent year with Matt. Jimmy, things were quicker. I think it was more vertical interior, up the seam, Bennett, back shoulder, that type of stuff. Jacoby, I remember calling games where he's running the damn keeper. He had a 27-yard touchdown, you know, on a run. There are things they did differently to complement who was under center. But the problem is Brady's been under center for most of the 20 years. So, yeah, I mean, you're drafting Rob Gronkowski to give him a great tight end. You're drafting Aaron Hernandez to give him a slot guy. Look at the backs they've tried to acquire.
I don't even think it's about personnel. I don't think it's about personnel. I know that the question that was asked was not, you know, was not necessarily about the guys around the quarterback. It was about, you know, with the athletic quarterbacks that are available that are in the draft class when you're scouting. I think he's answering a question about the draft class, talking about the offense and their willingness to change everything they do. We'll pick this up on the other side. We'll talk more about that. How did you interpret that part of what Bill Belichick had to say? 617-779-0985. And any reaction you may have to the things Bill did or didn't say yesterday, we'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A snap to Jacoby's going to run the option, and he carries to the right, and then slides past.
That's
the 50.
A late hit.
Jacoby Brissett will pick up the first down. Shotgun snap to Brissett. Stands in, fires to the right, caught by Amendola. First down near sideline, outside the Texan 10.
On a big third down in the red zone, standing in the pocket, delivers a strike.
Play fake by Brissett. He's going to run. Get him into the 25-20, 15-10. Jacoby with a cut at the 5.
He's
going to hit. Diving for a touchdown. Patriots.
Jacoby Brissett, the Pied Piper, folks. Follow him right now.
Jacoby Brissett. They ran the option with Jacoby Brissett. I think this answer was about personnel.
We do what we got to do.
Not about personnel. Excuse me. I said that completely ass backwards. not about personnel. It's about the offense. And it wasn't about putting weapons around Tom Brady. It was about everything offensively they do for Brady. That's what that was about.
Meaning, you know what? Brady's great in shotgun. He loves shotgun. He likes pointing guys out. He likes maneuvering. He likes talking to the back. So what? Let's do more shotgun. Maybe he doesn't like being under center, but damn it, we get the running game going. Tom's better under center off the play fake because he's a great play faker. It's a little bit of everything, Beetle. A little bit of everything. Some personnel, too. Like,
so
hey,
what does that mean for Stidham or anybody else? And does that make Cam Newton more in play? They'll adapt to Cam Newton.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, if you want your quarterback to run a little bit more like that, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. If Jarrett Stidham is the quarterback, what will they do to adapt for Jarrett Stidham? That's one of the questions now, too. They will look different. So whatever we're going to see game one of this season will look different than what we saw at the end of last season.
I wonder if there's some, like, half-roll stuff in there. You know what I mean? Like, little half-roll to the flat where you're flooding zones and stuff. And maybe you could do that to the left because the kid does a good job squaring his shoulders. But I go back to last preseason. A lot of it was very similar to what they did with Brady. So the adjustments and the transition shouldn't be too complicated, shouldn't be too exotic of a new offense, especially if it's Jarrett Stidham, because I think he handled things fine in August.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Dylan's in Providence. Hi, Dylan.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey.
Doing all right, trying to stay safe, stay home, watching you guys at home as well. So best to you guys as well.
Nice. Thank you.
So, you know, I just wanted to throw some – I always love draft time. I always love talking quarterbacks. And obviously this year is the biggest in recent memory for all this going on with the Pats. But there's three guys specifically I do not want the Pats to touch with a 10-foot pole. The first one would be Tua Tagovailoa. I do not trust the injuries. I don't trust the ankle injuries, the hip injury. I mean, I don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. The other two guys are veterans. I don't think Cam Newton fits here at all. I think that regardless of what kind of – you know, maneuvering they could do with the scheme, they could do that with regardless whatever quarterback they get, whether he's a young guy or it's Brian Hoyer, there's always going to be schematic adjustments made. And Zoe, you played in that system. You know how much can be moved about and, you know, whether it's formations or different concepts that you have, you can plug and play different guys based on their skill sets with that. And the other guy is Andy
Dalton. Why not Cam Newton?
I think we all can agree. Why not Cam Newton?
So if you can adapt Newton it because, for different skill sets, why not Cam Newton? If they can do it for Jacoby Brissett, why can't they do it for Cam Newton?
Correct. I agree with you there. I think that the reason for that is specifically because of how Cam Newton operates as a, you know, a player or a person in the locker room. I just don't see that fitting within Bill Belichick's style, the way he can run things.
So it's not a football reason.
No, I think he would do fine here. I just don't think he's a fit here. And I think the direction the franchise is going is completely opposite from where Cam Newton is in his career. You know, he hasn't had a lot of suitors, but a lot of that probably has to do with, you know, the coronavirus epidemic going on and, you know, not being able to get physicals and stuff like that. But just
right.
Today you see a news report that Tua Tagovailoa apparently had some physicals with teams. And it has you scratching your head wondering what the hell's going on. You know, so those are the three guys I don't want. I mean, if I had to leave you with one comment as far as, you know, guys I could see going positive in the future, let's see what we got in Stidham. You know, I'd like to see them take a kid maybe in the second or fourth round of the draft, like, you know, somebody like Jalen Hurts, who's more of a project guy who they can work around, work athletically, you know, see what they think of them. So stay safe, guys. Pleasure talking to you. Take it easy.
Okay.
All right, Dylan.
He's got a lot. He's got a lot to say.
Got a lot of energy.
The Cam Newton thing, you know, there's been a lot made about how he's going to wait until after the draft.
Yeah.
You know, he said it himself. He's going to be patient. He's going to wait until after the draft. Isn't that about the coronavirus and getting the chance to actually get two teams in his mind? Like, he's hoping to, at some point, make visits.
Yeah, but, I mean, if one of those teams is taking Tua or Herbert, he probably doesn't want to go to that team, right?
No, I know that that's a factor.
That's part of it.
But But is there a team deciding between Tua or Cam Newton?
No, I think Cam has the luxury to wait right now. Like, if I'm Jameis Winston, I'm more panicked that I want to accelerate the process here.
I mean, that's what I keep seeing. Like, you know what I mean? He wants to wait. It keeps being made out to be about the draft when he says the draft.
But what
team is deciding between Tua or Cam Newton?
Maybe the Patriots?
See, here's the problem with Tua.
I don't think they are, but...
You're giving up a boatload to get up to get it, right? I don't want to give up the collateral to go up to get Tua. I'd rather bring in Cam Newton.
That's what I. No doubt about
it. I am not moving up to get Herbert. I wouldn't touch that kid. He's Paxton Lynch, man. I'm telling you. Something ain't right there.
We know you
don't like Herbert.
We know you don't like
out
Paxton
on Herbert.
Lynch.
I am out on Herbert.
Ken's in New Hampshire. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. Out and about, huh, Ken? How you doing?
Oh, hey, good. Sorry, just weird connection. Hey, yeah. So I hear what you guys are saying. Here's the thing. I just got a couple things right here. Cam Newton, he's got tools. He's got the capability. He's got a lot of physicalities, you know, measurables, you could say, to check down. Here's the thing, though. I mean, as excited as we can get about a blockbuster deal with, like, Cam Newton, the thing we're forgetting sometimes, even myself included, is that he doesn't have that presence, leadership ability, X factor, and attitude for just a community that the Patriots have built with the Patriot way. A lot of it has been the Cam Newton show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And plus cap space. You know, to go after Cam Newton, you'd have to create so much cap space that you have to basically put your other existing guys in danger with their contracts, which I don't think the Patriots are going to do. Just like you said, they're not going to trade up for a big quarterback. They're not going to put their Patriots at risk for a Cam Newton. I think they've got a real guy in Jarrett Stidham because he's already built some great rapport with their rookie receivers. And the thing of it is, they were under so much pressure last season to perform for the GOAT, Tom Brady. You know, he expected perfection because he had to, because they're all he had.
Which receivers do you think he's built the rapport with that's going to be helpful this year? Please,
I will.
No, Zoe.
I will.
Say it.
Yeah, I'm going to say here right now. The biggest guys they're going to build rapport with is Myers.
There it is. Oh, what a setup. We set him up.
You knew it.
Beetle, don't laugh it off. This is the reality of the Patriots right now.
Yeah, Beetle, don't laugh it off there.
That's okay.
Man.
I mean, wait. So I'm supposed to say that Jacoby Myers is good? Or I think he's good because that's what they've got?
Not like he's going anywhere.
What does that mean?
He's one of their options right now.
He's Edelman's backup, brother. Get on the ride.
No,
yeah,
Gunner's
let's
Edelman's
go.
Backup, Zoe. Gunner's Edelman's backup. Come on.
I'm not getting on board with Jacoby Myers as a good player because Jarrett Stidham, as the caller said, is now the quarterback. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do that.
This is the reality. We're where every other team is right now. Like,
yes,
thinking
you are.
About it. It's every other team now.
They could bring in another Jag who has a good camp that replaces Jacoby Myers in 3 minutes.
Like, this is what turns Bill on. This is what turns Bill on is everybody's classifying you as everybody else, and you're in the middle of the pack with everybody else. Now I'm going to coach this middle-of-the-pack team above its ceiling, and that's what I'm going to do, and get them to play up to the level I think they can play at.
All right, more from Bill Belichick's conference call coming up next. Are we going to get a reinvigorated Bill? One observation I had from this is Bill seemed to be in a pretty good mood during the conference call yesterday. Now we'll get to that coming up right after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's a little bit different than the way we've done it in the past with the 30 visits and the pro days and so forth. But all the teams are working with the same, you know, constraints. I think we've probably talked to as many, if not more, players than we have in the past. You know, when you're not traveling, you're just sitting at a desk and or sitting in a room wherever we are. You know, it's easier to make a lot of phone calls and get in contact with people rather than sometimes visit a place and, you know, just see the people that are there, even though those visits are valuable and you're able to, you know, get into more of an in-depth conversation and evaluation there. So, yeah, we certainly logged a lot of phone time and FaceTime and whatever, you know, video conferencing and so forth. And, you know, again, I think for the most part, we all adjusted to that, you know, tried to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to do those things.
Bill Belichick on his conference call yesterday. I thought he was pretty chipper, to be honest with you, on this call.
Football, baby.
On the football topics not related to Tom Brady, he gave
scouting.
A lot of lengthy homework. And in-depth answers on this call. That answer, he was talking about technology and dealing with the challenges of having been at home versus being at the facility or versus going out and doing visits due to the pandemic. Thought he had a really good answer on that.
Learned how to click new buttons. You know, he's excited about that.
He didn't even mock the technology as he typically does. He was
called it FaceTime, not ass time, none of that stuff, right? Yeah.
He was all in on learning new things. And in addition to this, I think that when Brady left, and we've heard from Brady since, I'm willing to bet that Tom Brady is in a pretty good place mentally, right? He feels like something has been lifted for him. Whatever it was that was weighing him down in New England, he doesn't have that anymore because of the last couple of years, whatever it was that was going on behind the scenes. Can't the same be true of Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Dealing with the Tom Brady situation. There's no more dealing with Tom Brady. There's no more, you know, of this pressure to win for Brady or that's it. That's all gone.
I've gone back and forth a couple times with the quarterback since the Stern interview, and he said the transition's been about as smooth as you could expect, and he's happy with that. He said the only problem is I can't, you know, being restricted, you can't get around the facility, you can't work out with guys. So he's excited for that to happen whenever that happens. But
so if a weight has been lifted for Brady, the same could be true of Belichick.
Yes, and, I would think so. Yes, it sounds it.
First of all, there's no one close to being on his level now within the football operation. Like, it's Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick. They both haven't been here for the entire run. That's it. That's over.
They go on a run next year. We're not going to sit here
the entire run.
Right. And we're not going to sit here. Who did it better? Was it Brady or was not? Or was it Stidham or was it Belichick? No. It's going to be Belichick did this. Right? When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers last year and their revival that second half of the year with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, what are you talking about? Mike Tomlin. This is Mike Tomlin's team. Mike Tomlin, coach of the year. Belichick's a front runner for Coach of the Year next year because people expect him to be good because he's such a damn good coach, and Brady's not here. So he's going to get that nod.
Well, I don't think he is. I don't think the media is, you know, going out of their way to.
I think they like the idea of it. And let's face it, if you're going to bet one way or the other, you have to bet on the Patriots having a winning season next year. All right, we'll start with that. If they go three games beyond a winning season and finish 11-5 without Tom Brady, okay, you know,
that'll
that puts Belichick
a that smashing puts Belichick, success.
Right. So really, you know, Belichick has to be an odds-on favorite for Coach of the Year because you could argue all he really needs to do is pick up three wins that he shouldn't be winning. You know, if the general public feels like Patriots without Brady, they're a 500 team. Okay, if they're 11-5, then that's going to blow people's expectations for the most part out of the water. And yeah, you got to talk about him as being, you know, he's obviously one of the best coaches year in and year out, but in terms of what he has to work with for this upcoming season, yeah, 11-5 might be enough to earn him that honor.
Last time he won it was 2010, Bill Belichick, when the Patriots were 14-2. That was the last time he won the award. He also won it in 2007 when the team was undefeated. Hard to pick anybody else in that situation. He won it in 2003. He's won the award three times with a team that was 14-2, 14-2, and in 14-2, 16-0, and 14-2 again in 2010. That's what it's taken for him to get the award. If you care about this type of thing, I personally don't.
No, I don't.
He should have received more consideration for it over the years, but he doesn't because he's considered so good to begin with. That works against you in those awards.
And he also had Tom Brady.
Sure. Yeah, that too. Yeah, sure. But being good works against you if you're a good head coach and you're considered one of the greats. Like, you've got to do something really exceptional to get consideration for it. And for him, three times winning it, he's had a combined four losses.
Yeah, like, we're gonna do this year.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like a disappointing seasons all 3 years before that, which ties into this year. Those 0-2 was a disappointing season, right?
Yeah.
0-6 and 0-9 were all disappointing seasons, right?
Yeah. 0-6 was pretty damn good year, though, man. 0-6 was pretty damn good year because you didn't have a lot in the outside to throw to. I think that's one of Brady's best years. Going back to it, the Richey Caldwell year, I'm just telling you. And they always like to pick the sexy guy, right? Like the newcomer on the scene for coach of the year.
To Jim's point, though, those were years that motivated the team and Belichick to go out and really have big off seasons.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
06, they were highly motivated to go out and have a big offseason. After 2009, I think they were sort of motivated to try and start building that next phase. It took them a few more years. Wasn't as instant, but it was good.
That was his best draft, though, 2010.
Yes, I would agree. He drafted a bunch of good guys that year.
Is that the Gronkowski draft?
That was Devin McCourty. Yeah. That was Spikes and Gronk in the second round. That was Aaron Hernandez. That was a good draft.
Oh!
I think they got Marcus Cannon late in that draft because he had the cancer issues.
Oh, my God. That's right. Lymphoma. Yeah.
Good draft. Blair in Maine. How you doing up there, Blair?
My man Blair. What's up?
Nothing much, guys. How you doing, Zoe?
Just chilling, bro.
I recognize you got a nice haircut now. Didn't you or no?
You know what I mean? You know who cut my hair, Blair? My daughter. Off
your
a YouTube video.
Cut your hair?
Cut my hair, man.
People, I thought maybe your wife was the one to cut your hair, or you cut your hair.
You ever see the Flobee? It sucks while it cuts. You attach it to the end of your dryer.
Yeah, well, we're stuck in this, we're stuck in this coronavirus thing, you know, pandemic. So, you know.
How do you think Maine is doing up there? How's Maine dealing with things, Blair? Good? Things well?
5 hours of no power last Thursday. What the hell can I do with myself?
Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, hey, but Cam Newton on the Patriots can't complain if we get Cam Newton, man. All you got to think of is dap, 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 dap.
Tuka, tuka, tuka,
tuka, tuka, tuka, tuka, tuka, tuka, tuka, tuka.
That was one of Bears Blutter calls.
5 hours, no power. Yeah, that's no fun. A lot of people lost their power yesterday. I heard Big Jim Murray lost his power during the show.
Like, yesterday was like his darkest day, I think.
Why?
A couple of his headlines, just so depressed. Like, this thing's like killing him to begin with. He can't go anywhere. And then just, hey, kick me in the nuts twice. Oh, wait, let me catch my breath and kick me again and cut my power out.
The power.
Two of his headlines are like, hey, it's Big Jim Murray.
Well, yeah, he's recording him on his phone while his power's out.
Oh, that's what he was doing? He was recording them
that's
on his
it
phone?
Sounded like.
Oh, that's great.
We should replay one from yesterday.
That's awesome.
It's like the third one.
Weather is weather, and I don't get that obsessed over it, but I spent a lot of time looking out the windows yesterday afternoon, watching the trees. Watching how much they're swaying, like,
It's bigger than that. I got massive pines by me, and you see the tops of those and how heavy and thick. Like, I got 2-foot pine tree trunks, and these things are swaying. And I'm like, you could just, the wetter and wetter that ground gets. And the root ball, guy across the street, root ball popped right out. I know you make fun of it with the Rentham tornado and all that. We had one here. and trees were dropping left and right in town center. Looked like something out of Beetlejuice.
NASCAR driver Kyle Larson making news for all the wrong reasons today. Suspended indefinitely by NASCAR and without pay by his racing team for using a racial slur in a live stream during a virtual race. He was competing in an iRacing.
He does sound a little depressed.
Yeah. It's like a big Jim Murray, home of sports.
He does sound a little down in that headline. 617-779.
Another update in 30 minutes.
Yeah. More of your calls are coming up next here on Zolak and Berger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday morning, 617-779-0985. We mentioned that draft for Bill Belichick back in 2010. Bill Belichick yesterday was asked about second-round picks, and it was a question about the secondary and guys in the secondary, and I think that was a question about all some of the bad defensive backs that have been drafted in those mid-rounds over the years or after the first round. But Bill Belichick, again, possibly reinvigorated by the departure of Tom Brady, had something to say about his second-round track record.
My question is Tom Curran.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for taking all this time. Last question is, I know how much self-scouting you guys do in the regular season and on your entire operation. When doing that relative to the draft the last few years, have you seen anything that you're doing that you could do differently to have different results, maybe especially in the second round where you've frequently gone defensive back and it just hasn't panned out that well? So I'm just wondering, is that bad luck? Is it anything related to when you're taking guys? Anything that you can give in terms of enlightening us on that? Thank you.
Yeah, well, we evaluate everything we do and are always trying to, you know, learn from every situation to improve, and we do that. We've done that every year since I've been here. We'll continue to do it, and we'll do the best we can this year, so we'll see how it goes.
Is there anything on that group that's a position you guys have gone back to with Byrick and Jordan Richards and Duke Dawson and last year Juwan? Is there any philosophy in the second round that you have that says, hey, let's go and try and get some matchup type of corners or a corner or a safety or a defensive back who brings something at that point?
Yeah. Oh, and you got guys like Matt Light and Jamie Collins and Rob Gronkowski, and you know, mm-hmm. there's plenty of second rounders that, you know, have had pretty good careers here. So we'll see how it goes. But you know, look, each draft's different, every year is different, each player is different, so you know, I think to sit here and, you know, rehash the 2015 draft or the 2006 draft or whatever it is again, they're fundamentals of the process, and, you know, we always try to improve those. We'll try to do the best job that we can this year in every round, first round, second round. If we're in the second round right now, we're not even in.
And so that was Bill yesterday answering Tommy Curran's questions about second round picks as it relates to guys in the secondary. Have you ever looked at that list? Have you ever taken a hard? I think he mentioned Cyrus Jones. Where was Cyrus? Oh, Cyrus Jones is a second rounder too.
Second rounder.
I missed that one.
Cyrus Jones.
So do you want to hear that list? Because it is special.
Wilson. Second, did he take Wilson in the second round, too?
Here you go. No, listen. Here it is. I got the whole list now. Go ahead. There's the one guy I missed was Cyrus Jones.
Rozai Dowling?
Defensive backs in the second round drafted by Bill Belichick here in New England. Jo'Wan Williams, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones, Jordan Richards, Tavon Wilson, Rozai Dowling, Darius Butler, Terrence Wheatley, Eugene Wilson.
Who's the best guy? Guys like Matt Light and Jamie Collins.
Yeah. No, we know, Defensive backs was the question.
Sebastian Bowman was a second rounder too, right?
I'm pretty sure they have attacked defensive back in the second round more than any other position that they've drafted.
Recently. Yeah, recently too.
I mean, that goes back to Eugene Wilson. So, and you said recently, the last couple of drafts, Jo'Wan Williams and Duke Dawson, who both to this point have been disappointing. And, you know, that might change for Jo'Wan Williams. So, you know, we'll hang on. We'll hold for that. But who's the best player on that list?
Chung. Chung was in there, second round.
He was a second rounder, too.
Yeah, out of Oregon.
Yeah. It was Kern who, like, threw that one in there after Bill rattled him off.
What year was that?
Said, Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung, he was a second rounder.
What year was Chung drafted? Do you remember?
That was 09. I think they had 4 second rounders that year.
Huh. Yeah, and I would say that's definitely the guy. Chung would be the guy from 2009.
Yeah.
Oof, not a pretty list. Not a great list. I mean, those are not just for second-round picks. Forget defensive backs. That's a lot of misses in the second round. The second round is supposed to be pretty good.
Top two rounds should be pretty decent. Yeah.
The first round has been excellent. A-plus grade for the Patriots in the first round during Bill Belichick's tenure. The second round has been a real sore spot, I would say, when it comes to drafting.
Yeah.
Zach is in the car. What's up, Zach?
Hey guys, just a quick comment on Cam Newton. I'm a hard no on Cam Newton. This guy cannot throw the football. If you watch him throw 10 balls that are not checkdowns to McCaffrey, he is consistently high. If he ever showed up here and played for the Patriots, you will be cursing the TV. But the epithet, high again.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much he can be coached. You know, that's. Sorry about that. But, I mean, that's the real question, right? How much is he willing to be coached? How much can he be coached? Because he does get lazy. It's a lot of back foot to what he's talking about here, the collar, which drops the arm. And for a guy at 6'5", 6'6", man, his ability, when he steps into things, he can throw rockets. I've seen him make great throws on digs, and I've also seen ball sell on him, where he gets lazy and sort of sidearms that thing out there. Now, you get him around Josh, and I think Mick Lombardi, I think, is going to be moved to receivers and coach up the receivers and not be a quarterback coach, but it'll be strictly on Josh's watch, you know, if they would go get him to coach him up to where he'd be technically sound.
I'm sorry, what, Jim?
That would be Jed Fish, though. Jed Fish is the new quarterback guy they got on the staff. Guy from UCLA they hired.
Okay. I know nothing about him.
He was on Harbaugh's staff. He coached Josh Rosen in college. Remember they brought him in and we thought, oh, they got Rosen. Rosen's guy.
Yep. Yeah.
He's supposed to be like a quarterback guru.
Mm. Brian is in the truck. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. You know, the draft's coming up, and I have a theory at quarterback that I like. And I think if you look at the last, you know, maybe 20 NFL drafts, the guys that have been drafted and fit for a year have much better productive NFL careers, and I just like to see that instead of kind of throwing to the wolf. Just like to get your take on it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think if you can give a guy a year, it's better to be able to give a guy a year. I don't think that means that because you sat for a year, you're going to be good. Does that make sense?
Everybody's different.
There are good quarterbacks who have sat for a year. Most recently, Patrick Mahomes comes to mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tom Brady sat for a year. Aaron Rodgers sat for a year. There are plenty of guys who have sat on the bench.
Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman got thrown to the wolves, got the hell kicked out of him first year. They ended up being good quarterbacks. So, but right. Go through rough patches.
Right. You don't, because you sat for different. A year doesn't make you good, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm not going to. I think he's right, though. If you can sit for a year and you're a good quarterback, it helps. That doesn't mean Jarrett Stidham will be good because he sat for a year. That's right. All. Let's get into some basketball and some NBA with comments from Jason Tatum. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Beetle, real quick here before we get to Jason Tatum.
Sure.
Hardy there in the Hub headline. Cincinnati has canceled men's soccer, the University of Cincinnati. Saving money, huh? That must be a backbreaker for that sports program. How many soccer balls they need? Five? A pair of shorts, some socks? I mean, they're not making money at the gate. What are you saving on?
Scholarships.
Yeah, I guess.
Trainers,
so
coaches.
We're gonna go to the men's soccer team to save our athletic program.
Oof. Well, what would you have them cancel instead, Zoe?
I don't know. Women's field hockey? I don't know.
That's not how it works, though. You know, men and women get equal opportunity at scholarships.
So the women's soccer program,
as they should. It's an interesting question. I don't know.
I mean,
I missed the story. I had stepped out for a minute.
Yeah.
So what? It's the University of Cincinnati, you said?
Correct. Yes. Men's soccer.
Okay, so they canceled the program. They probably didn't have a full roster of scholarship players. They probably had partial scholarships or, you know, a handful. It may have been to balance out something else.
Yeah, it's just odd, right? Just we're going to cancel men's,
side.
Not the entire soccer program.
Well, if you cancel, I'm guessing that because the University of Cincinnati has a football program, that their women's soccer team is a full roster of full scholarships, whereas the men's team may have, like, a scholarship divided among everybody. That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you might start seeing a lot of this, really, with some of these schools and teams losing or schools losing money. This is why I think it's, you know, they're going to push to play football. They need to get people in stadiums.
Well, we'll get to that later this hour. We have an item on that later this hour that we will get to. Jason Tatum has spoken, and he has not touched a basketball since the season ended. There it is.
It's a difficult time right now because it's not like it's the off season and guys are able to work out and get in the gym. I haven't been able to touch a basketball since our last game at Indiana. I got stuff to work out at home and cardio and weights and stuff. But, I haven't played basketball in a long time.
That's amazing. The Celtics can't just send you a basketball hoop to nail up to the side of a building somewhere or something to your house?
I thought about it, but the weather up here isn't too great. 5 out of 6 days it's raining and it's still pretty cold up here. So it's not the best conditions to be outside playing.
Oh, all right, boy. So that's Jason Tatum on the jump.
Oh, boy.
And that's Rachel Nichols asking question. Like,
not good.
Wait, the Celtics can't get on, Walmart.com or something and, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods website and UPS you a basket?
You know, and
it's a great response by her. But I've got to say, all right, you guys go ahead. I know you both feel strongly about what he said.
Well, he sounds like a child, number one. You know, like, I couldn't do my homework. Why not? I didn't have a pencil. What am I going to do? You know,
I picked up a basketball. Paper.
Yeah, there's. Are you kidding? There's only been, like, 10 nice days, you know? All the rest of them have been, like, rainy and a little bit cold. I can't go outside. I can't do it. Yes, you could. Now, if you're training and you're doing your cardio, maybe you don't feel compelled or obligated to go do it. But the more I thought about this, Beetle, maybe he lives in a condo and he really doesn't have anywhere where he can go play.
That's fair. So that's not
this
the problem.
This is my thought. And
that's
I thought
not the
that
problem.
When he used the weather, and I'm now making an excuse for him, but when he mentioned the weather, it's like, oh, well, it's still cold. I think he's like afraid to admit that I wouldn't have anywhere to put it. Like, they could send me one. I wouldn't have anywhere to set it up.
That's fine. This is different.
He's one of the younger guys on the team. I don't know that he has his own single-family home somewhere. I think he might live in the city and doesn't have the ability to do that.
Well, if I were Jason Tatum, I'm sorry, Zoe, but if I were Jason Tatum, I would be living – I wouldn't have, like, a condo or a place. I would live in a hotel. I would live in a place where you are guaranteed to have somebody like – didn't Doc Rivers live in a hotel
for a
long time?
Yeah, he lived above the Ritz, right?
Yeah. Now, I don't know what hotel living is like. I mean, sure, we've seen it in movies, but, I mean, there's got to be a way where you just have somebody come in and, like, clean up your stuff every day. If you're a young guy and you don't care the first thing about – cleaning your own kitchen or your bathrooms or doing your or anything else, making your bed, and you've got that kind of money, I wouldn't blame him at all. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to have access to everything that you would have, even with a condo or certainly not a single family house. But if he's got some kind of a living situation like that, yeah, that makes sense for somebody of his age and his income. And he literally may not have a place where he can go and shoot baskets. If the facility is closed and you're not supposed to be going to city parks, and furthermore, they've been told by their bosses with the Celtics, don't go outside, don't mingle, don't get caught doing any of this dumb stuff. Where's he going to go play basketball? How could he? If he's going to follow the rules and do what he's been being told to do.
I get in a car and drive my ass to Florida.
This is what I would say to him is you got to find a friend that has a driveway with a basketball hoop in it. And
Danny Ainge has one.
And let them know, hey, I'm going to come over to your house. Don't come outside. I'll be in your driveway shooting hoops for a little bit. Like
Danny Ainge has one.
Call someone on the team. They'll figure it out for him.
And that quickly solves that problem, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, if he calls Brad Stevens and is like, Brad, listen, you know where I live. I live in a condo downtown. I need a place to shoot. What should I do? Do you have a hoop in your driveway? Brad Stevens would be like, yeah, drive to my house.
This kid's a smart kid. He went to
Duke. I
put
the hoop up.
Now, he wasn't there for the full 4 years. He came out early, but you get people around him. You have handlers. You have guys you work out with. You have trainers in the offseason. You know the NBA is not coming back anytime soon. Celtics can get in touch with travel agencies to where, or realtors down south. Find me a small house, a nice house that has a basketball court. Because I need one of my players to come down here and rent it for a month. We'll pay 3 months of it, okay? Just give me 1 month to get my key player down here to where he can move around a little bit outside, train, and work on his jump shot because he's a marquee player instead of just sitting stagnant.
He's got to go all the way to Florida for this? To shoot a basketball?
I'm talking if you want good weather. Or, I mean, that most guys train down in Atlanta. They go out to Arizona. I'm talking football players that I know. There's ones in Atlanta. There's Northern Panhandle, Florida. There's these athletes' first places that they go to where you get a bunch of guys together. Now, you can't congregate in groups, but somebody's got to know somebody that's got a house, that knows a realtor, or there's a guy that went to Duke that's got a house down there, that's got a basketball court. He can stay there, and he can shoot all he wants for the month of April or May before they get ramped up in June.
Well, the thing is, there's going to be this
long... Is it that complicated?
There's going to be a long ramp up to the season, isn't there? Like, isn't that sort of the thing you keep hearing?
I find it
they
hard.
Have 3 weeks to get ready to play. Like,
I find it hard he hasn't touched the ball since Indiana. Really?
Yeah.
You really believe this? He may be messing with you.
He might be, but Zoe, again, if you like lay out his living arrangements like we just said, and
I agree though.
He's going to shoot around every morning. He's going to a practice on the days off. He's playing a game every night.
Right.
I don't know.
Why would I want to hoop at home?
And he doesn't have any kids. He's not living with anybody. No, I don't even want much.
Hey, Hardy.
He just turned 21.
Oh, that's right. But he may not want so much as a pair of sneakers around, much less a basketball and a hoop.
No, I understand that.
I already do that for 6-7 hours a day between practices and games.
But the environment has changed.
All right, but do you, like, I thought it was funny to hear, but do you think it's a big deal that he hasn't shot a basketball? He'll be worse when he comes back?
I don't think it's going to make him better.
I could see that, but I mean,
no,
I think
you know what this is.
I thought it was just sort of funny.
This is my complaint, but this is my point with the hockey. Like, all of a sudden, you haven't skated. You don't have the ability to skate because you can't get to a rink. Basketball, you go outside and shoot basketball. So any of these pro athletes just stop, and you hit that brick wall, and you don't do a damn thing to better your game. And you think, okay, we're going to play a downsized season. We're going to play a group of 10 games before we get into the playoffs. And we're going to be the same team that we were when you touched the basketball last at Indiana. He ain't going to be the same player. It's going to take him more time to get going.
Tatum was playing at an MVP level when he stopped playing.
Tatum was the guy. Yes. He was taking over. It was his team.
Brian's in Billerica. Brian, what do you know about this?
Hey, I actually own a delivery service, and I delivered a refrigerator to his mom. And they got a really nice place down there. Three-car garage. If you had kids, you'd hang a basketball hoop from it. It was kind of comical. They didn't even, like, shovel their driveway. The trucks were all parked down the street. Like, but he does have a pretty nice home. Could play basketball in the garage.
You know what? We got an email, too, from Kevin who said when he posts stories on Snapchat, his stories the last few weeks are of him working out in his garage, which has a lengthy driveway in the background.
Yeah, I'm looking at an Instagram video right now of him riding a stationary bike in a garage. And as it pans over here, there's a driveway. That pretty flat. Okay.
Send that man a hoop.
Hey, Beetle.
That's amazing. The Celtics can't just send you a basketball hoop to nail up to the side of a building somewhere or something?
They're probably on that now, right?
Watch the purity of your shot as it goes in.
You know, this is what I would
five
say.
Five out of every 6 days here, according to him. It's here's, like, as Tom said, that's like Zoe weather forecast.
Yeah, here's something else that's going to happen. This is about the greater good, okay? This is about the greater good of Boston. Jason Tatum's ability to shoot. If Jason Tatum by himself wants to be allowed into a gym right now, he could get into one. Yeah. There are plenty of people that would let him into a gym right
local
now.
High school at ED would kick the door open for, hey, you got a half hour. I'll be back to lock up. You need to leave.
Okay? Whenever you want to come in, you let me know, and this will be hush-hush, and you go in there by yourself. As long as you're not bringing it, you know, other people in, you go do your thing.
All right. I don't know why I'm so willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'll say it once again. For all we know, these guys have been instructed, don't leave your house. Don't go out.
It's possible. The NHL guys have been told that. The NHL guys have been told by the NHL, don't leave your house. Stay home. So that might be part of it, too. Maybe just following instructions. But if he has a driveway, get that man a hoop. Order up a hoop.
If anybody out there in the Boston area has a hoop and it's 65
that they'd
and nice
like
out,
to donate,
can you just stay in your house while Jason shows up so he can shoot basketball?
Yeah, they're,
and he'll bring his own ball.
Well, no, if he's got to stay at his house, though, by, you know, rule, maybe he needs the help. Maybe he just needs someone to come over, get some of that, what's that, Portland cement they use there to put up fence posts, put that hoop down in the ground. Get
you
him a good one.
See, the problem is, Bill, you got to get down 3 feet. Yeah, you got to put that
sonic
tube down.
Yeah, you
got to
get below the frost line,
you need that anchor.
Right?
If you're putting that gorilla hoop up, like the gorilla's the best one. Those big square ones that you could crank and lower it up and down.
Yes, get him a gorilla. What's it called? Gorilla hoop?
Gorilla.
Get him a gorilla hoop.
Yep.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Beetle, real quick here before we get to Jason Tatum.
Sure.
Hardy there in the Hub headline. Cincinnati has canceled men's soccer, the University of Cincinnati. Saving money, huh? That must be a Must be a backbreaker for that sports program. How many soccer balls they need? Five? Pair of shorts?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.